From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
With a coup in Bolivia and rioting on the streets of Iran and Hong Kong, today we get the view from Moscow of all of this. Russia's foreign ministry spokesperson, Maria Zakharova, held her weekly press conference in Moscow on Thursday, and we bring you as much of that as time allows. She began with a discussion of the G20 meeting currently taking place in Nagoya, Japan, which was expected to be attended by the foreign ministers of the member countries.
This G20 group is very important now due to geopolitical controversies and the outbreak of protectionism. And we see substantial developments like the reform of international tax systems, the bank surveillance and mechanism for cooperation in the fight against corruption. The forum focuses on digital economy, on strengthening the human potentials, investment infrastructure, energy, trade, climate, and environment. The G20 is 80-85% of the production, and its decisions has a great impact on the functioning of the global markets, and it also reflects the developments and the balance of our power in the world economy. And for over the 25 years of the cloud of the global GDP in terms of the PPP decreased from 58% to 40%, and the cloud of developing countries is increasing starting from the 1st of December. The presidency will be taken by Saudi Arabia, and the Minister of the Russian Federation, Mr. Lavrov, plans to hold talks with his colleagues, and the first one will be with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Japan, that is planned for the 22nd of November. As for the next day, we have bilateral meetings with our Chinese colleagues. And some other meetings that we will inform you. On the 25th of November, at the invitation of Foreign Minister of our country, the Minister of Nepal, the Minister of Foreign Affairs will pay a visit to our country. They were planning to discuss issues of our relations, deepening political dialogue, increasing cooperation in trade and economic humanitarian areas, and about enhancing cooperation in the national platforms. The 25th of November, the foreign minister of our country will receive the first deputy minister of foreign affairs of China, and Mr. Titov will also planning to have conversations with his colleagues, and there will be a meeting that I've just mentioned, and the Chinese colleagues will be received by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and there will be also negotiations with Mr. Rodenko and Mr. Margul. The parties will exchange views on the bilateral ties and the ways to strengthen the foreign policy coordination between Russia and China. So the context and meetings will be quite intense. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Iceland will visit Moscow on the 26th of November. You have asked us about this, and I can confirm it now. The foreign ministers will discuss the current state and perspectives for Russian-Icelandic relations and the scope of cooperation in cultural in cultural, humanitarian, and also in economic and commercial areas. Special focus will be given to cooperation in the framework of the Arctic Council, which is a key platform for collective decisions in order to ensure sustainable development of the Arctic. And we hope that the visit of the Foreign Minister of Iceland will help us to confirm the upward trend of the Russian-Icelandic cooperation and to deepen the dialogue between our countries on the regional and international tracks. And we will publish additional information on the eve of the visit regarding the bilateral contacts. On the 27th of November, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Russian Federation will take part in the joint session of the Council of Ministers of Foreign Affairs and Council of Defense Ministers and Committee of Secretaries of Security Councils of the CSTO. This event will take place in Bishkek on the eve of the 28th of November, the eve of the session of the CSTO Collective Security Council. And during this event, the participants will exchange views on the military and political situation in the regions of the collective securities of CSTO, and they also will compare notes on the issues regarding the statement on improving the cooperation within this organization to the CSTO Collective Security Council, and also the plan of events for the celebration of 75th anniversary of the Great Patriotic War. They also will be discussing the stabilizing of the situation in the Middle East and North Africa, and planning to adopt the topics for statement in 2020. And the minister will inform his colleagues on the priority areas of work during the Russian presidency in this organization. Now we are coming to the situation in Syria, and we've paid our attention to the article in the New York Times. This is the inquiry regarding the Russian bombings of the Syrian hospitals that can be undermined by the limited pressure of the Russian Federation. So this is the thought that was placed in the title. Just to mention it in brief, the people that who prepared it, they confirmed by accumulating information in the social networks and on the internet. They tried to prove the involvement of the Russian Federation in the bombardments of the medical facilities in the southwest or northwest of Syria. And they state the Russian pressure on the internal board created by the UN Secretary Guterres. And they say that it was established to investigate the attacks on Syrian hospitals. This is what this publication is stating in brief. As for our reaction and on the facts that were highlighted by the newspaper, I don't know how to call it, if it's fake news or a biased attitude of the journalists. Let's speak about what is happening on the ground. And it's not the first time that we are facing this politicized investigation. And in many cases, this is based on the perversion of facts and on the facts that that are not proved by any facts. Everything is presented like data from reliable sources. So this publication is from this list. So what the authors should have known before they start the inquiry? They should have known that the Board of Inquiry was created on the 1st of August by the Secretary General, not for establishing the blame, but its purpose is to improve the criteria for checking and identifying the facility, the civil infrastructure facilities that are applied by the UN agencies. This is there is a term that is maybe this is more like a translation from the English language, but it is used in the UN documents and used in the discourse of our diplomats. This is a term of deconflicting. So this mechanism is far from being perfect, and it's obvious not only for us. And Russian arguments were voiced during many sessions of the UN Security Council on the situation in Syria and during direct communications with the media outlets. And it was not an attempt to mislead. This is our outright position on the 16th of September, and the material was published in 2 months. Mr. Nebenzia, our permanent representative to the UN, presented critical material regarding the process of deconflicting. We regret sincerely that the New York Times doesn't pay attention and doesn't cite the investigations regarding the day-to-day attacks of terrorists like Hayat Tahrir al-Sham and other associated groups, radicals. And these attacks are being perpetrated against schools, medical facilities, and refugee camps and other civilian infrastructure facilities. It seems that it's not of any interest to the journalists or to the editorial offices at all. And in the meanwhile, the civilian population is suffering from the atrocities of the terrorists in the northwest. And maybe we should focus on who is sponsoring these terrorists and the local protests. At the same time, they are being suppressed. And for instance, the residents of Kafr Harim, who disagreed with the arbitrary behavior of self-appointed authorities, are many days under siege of militants, and they have no contact with the outside world, but it is not interesting because it is not in line of the official attitude of Washington. So we hear many things said about propaganda, and I can cite a concrete example. If you can answer, we will be gladly trying to take your opinion into account. So Latin America, the current situation in Venezuela, that is very alarming. Although there are some reassuring facts, there were some protests of conflicting parties, which were without serious incidents, and the number of protesters has reduced. There is still a dialogue between the dialogue and the opposition in spite of the attempts of Washington to destroy it, and we are happy that these efforts have been supported. On the 18th of November, there was a meeting in the Montevideo format, and I would like to recall that this format was created by Mexico, Uruguay, and the CARICOM community countries in order to find a solution in the Venezuela by Venezuelan themselves. And the steps accorded by the government and the opposition are being applauded, and also the stop of the investigative actions against the opponents. And we also like to mention the thing that the regional supporters do not want to admit the intensification of the work of Inter-American Convention on Mutual Assistance that was established in order to prevent the aggression but not to settle humanitarian crisis. We have repeatedly stressed that only by the solution can be sought by the Venezuelans themselves, and it should be done without any preconditions or external interference, and this position is in contrast with Washington, who is ignoring the positive developments in the talks between the government and the opposition in Venezuela. Sorry to say, our American colleagues still call for the resignation of the legitimate president, and I would like to say once again that the main purpose of an international community is to find understanding between the different political parties in Venezuela, not to play in the hands of one of the conflicting sides. And we see the intention to destabilize the situation in Venezuela and to reformat Latin America in the spirit of the revived Monroe Doctrine. Because of the deficits of ideas, the instruments for toppling the government are the same. The bilateral illegal actions and support of Mr. Guaido and propaganda against Nicolas Maduro and subversive actions within the country. It is of a special concern that the biased attitude is used by some media outlets. In particular, regarding Venezuela, we see peremptory accusations of the local authorities that have been accused of all the sins, while these outlets silence the illegal actions of the radical opposition. Many Western media outlets also publish the cliché about anti-governmental protests and silence the progress between the government and the opposition, although the use of force against the protesters and the disruption of the constitutional order doesn't give any is not provided with any response. And now we are actually concerned with the destinies of the people, of the fate of the people, and we see many victims of the biased approach that has been influenced by the developments of the day, and the real victims are just the population and the people.
Bolivia, our position has been clearly stated by the president of the Russian Federation. I'm speaking about press conference on November 14. It was also mentioned by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs by Sergei Lavrov, Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov. In particular, in his answer to the question to Prensa Latina, published on the website of the ministry, the evaluations that we gave are still relevant. We reaffirmed them on numerous occasions. Unfortunately, the political situation in the country is still tense. The destabilizing potential remains there, and the backdrop of the non-legitimacy of the new authorities as a result of coup d'etat, and now it is not about the confrontation between the those who support Morales and the opposition, but there are clashes on ethnic ground and so on and so forth. We shall not forget that there is one important fact. Bolivia is called plurinational state. This is the official name of the country, and we know well what the consequences of this conflict may be if it is based on national basis, especially if it is fueled from outside. This is a very sensitive issue. It's a very complicated thing, and it can be easily destroyed, but hard to restore. Bolivia is a multi-ethnic state with a lot of Indians, and there are 37 native languages and 10,000 people is the population of Bolivia. We are concerned with the statements by politicians famous for their radically right views. They call for inter-ethnic class confrontation, and at the same time, they remove all the responsibility from the newly assigned acting president. The Human Rights Commission also expressed its assessments, stating that these actions are violating the human rights and are against the international norms. We have to listen to the High Commissioner on Human Rights, and we have to take into account the statements of Ms. Bachelet, because she knows very well what is this region and what are the problems of the region. And she is the person from this region, and she warned about the split and confrontation, stating that the repressions by the authorities only fuel further the possibility, the confrontation, and this can get out of control. We call upon Bolivian authorities to maintain the consolidation of the society and to develop the dialogue, and only this way the country may overcome this situation. Once again, we reaffirm that Russia is interested in stable and politically and economically stable Latin America, including Bolivia. We have traditionally strong ties with Bolivia, and why I'm repeating one and the same phrase all the time, what is Russia's interest? There is a reason for that. They are pretty real. This is because in media there are fake news about this country, this region countries, about certain countries or about the region in general. There are some materials, articles published with false information or quotes of some forged facts. There is a great number of them. Some of them we can track and refute, others not, because they cannot be verified. They are quickly multiplied, and all the time you can hear the real story from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or hear about our interests in the relationships that we truly want to develop, both with the region and with countries. We want this to be a stable politically and economically. The country, the region, we have good ties historically, and these are the countries of the region we want to build relationships on mutually beneficial basis in multiple areas. Next topic, in New York took place the conference on creation of the zone free from weapons of mass destruction and means of their deployment. It took place on 22nd of November. The creation of this zone is provided for by the resolution on the NPT review and extension. The conference took place in 1995. Russia, US, and Great Britain as NPT depositories are co-authors, co-sponsors of this resolution. This is one of the most important issues for NPT review conference and process. It would be an important contribution to strengthening of NPT regime. Unfortunately, the position of number of countries on this issue, the resolution 1995 still remains unrealized, and the NPT review conference in 2010 tasked General Secretary of the United Nations with collaboration of Russia, US, and Great Britain to convene conference on this issue. However, due to the fact that Israel was not prepared, this never happened. They never managed to reach the agreement in 2015 on the conference, review conference on NPT, because of US, Great Britain, Canada's non-constructive position, and they just undermined the outcome document. This conference takes place at the initiative of the Arab states. Russia supported this decision. We hope that this conference will become a starting point to implement the resolution of the 1995 to strengthen security in the Middle East, and all countries should be interested in this process. We hope that the number of participants will expand and the process will end up with creation of the zone of free from weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East, and we are going to support this process at the opening of the conference. The head of our delegation made a statement, and the speech is available at the webpage of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Russia. Next issue. We took note of direct threats from the officials of the United States of America to introduce sanctions against Egypt for purchasing the fighters Su-25. This is an aggressive behavior. This is fits the style of Washington that we are facing. That we've been facing for a long time, and many countries face the same behavior from the United States, from Europe, Asia, Africa, and Latin America, all regions of the world. We see that this phenomenon has its reasons, because the United States tried to impede in building good relationships of Russia with other countries and tries to use any possible means and mechanisms. Now it also refers to military and technical cooperation. As you know, U.S. introduced sanctions against Russia, and now they are threatening our partners to do so, those who prefer high-class Russian weapon. The ideologists of this concept tries to kill two birds with one stone, to undermine this deal, to hurt Russia, and at the same time to impose other countries to buy their weapons. We do not know which reason goes first, because if we speak about the second part, if they want to sell their weapons, then we have to remember the competition. It's a Western term, free competition based on free decisions on some benefits. I was taught this at the university. and we used Western textbooks. When people forget about this, about the principles of market economy, and then we see that even the product itself they try to sell is hit when they try to do it through political rhetoric and pressure. Why is it like that? Maybe the answer is that the competition is not sustainable on the U.S. side.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.